Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. I have been struggling over the question of what it is that God is asking me to tell you today. Because quite frankly, I can only barely contain the excitement that phrase brings me. Jesus Christ is risen. What an incredible thing to say. The one who was crucified has returned to life. And my mind is just bouncing off the walls of my skull. I can barely think straight. I can't even begin to put into words how important today is. And I think that is God's message for us today. It is a simple one. It is important. It matters. It matters that Christ is risen. But that is an understatement because it sounds so matter of fact. It more than matters. It is vital. It's essential. It matters more than anything else ever has. One theologian, a particular favorite of mine, his name is Yaroslav Pelikan. Oh yes, Yaroslav Pelikan put it this way: if Christ is risen, then nothing else matters. If Christ is not risen, then nothing else matters. This is the big event. This is the end all and the be all. I have stood here before, I said it earlier today, that Christ coming back from the dead is the most important event in history. I have said that it is even more important than the very creation of the universe. And let that sink in for a moment. Christ defeating death and the powers of Satan, opening the way not only for our eternal salvation and our eternal life, but also simply our reconciliation with God, is literally, not figuratively, literally the most important thing that has ever happened. If you take one thing home today, I hope that it is this: it matters. And it should matter to you and to me. But at the same time, I mean, it is a little absurd, isn't it? Isn't it? We live in a time of extreme skepticism. And don't get me wrong, that's actually a really good thing. I am glad that we live in a time when we are encouraged to question things instead of blindly believing them. But in our present time, it is becoming harder and harder and harder to believe stories like this one. After all, as one preacher put it, if the dead don't stay dead, what can you count on? But as it turns out, this idea, this hesitancy to believe, this questioning is nothing new. You see, after Jesus' execution, it fell to the women to care for his body. Jesus had died on Friday, and he was rather unceremoniously placed in a tomb because they didn't have time to do the burial rites for him before the Sabbath started. And so now, days later, it fell to them to go and properly care for their friend and teacher's corpse because he was dead. And this was going to be unpleasant. Jesus had been executed in a way that did not really make for a presentable corpse. And then on top of that, the women were prepared for his body to have been laying in the tomb without any embalming or anything since Friday. The women were in for less than a pleasant experience, simply on a visceral level. But there is more here too. There is their emotion. Jesus had been their friend. He had been their teacher. He had quite literally brought them closer to God, and like all of his followers, the women had believed that he was going to make a difference. They expected that Jesus would restore the kingdom of his earthly ancestor, David. After all, it was just last week, earlier, that they had marched into the capital of Jerusalem shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They thought he would be king, and instead, he got executed in a painful and incredibly undignified way. Crucifixion, after all, was the death sentence reserved for the lowest class of people. And all of that is what is going through their heads as they approach the tomb. Everything from the simple, pragmatic unpleasantness inherent in dealing with a decaying and desecrated body, to the fact that this particular dead body had missed out on his potential. Jesus should have been more before his death. They loved him, after all. And so when they come running to the disciples saying that the tomb was empty and two mystical men in shining white garb appeared to them and declared that Jesus had risen from the grave, it is no wonder that the disciples think that they have completely lost it. They must be suffering from a grief-induced hallucination. Verse 11 says that to the disciples, these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. An idle tale. The flighting fancy of grief-induced wishful thinking. See, doubt is not new. The Greek word here is leros, and we get the word delirious from it. And it means that which is totally devoid of anything worthwhile. Nonsense. But my favorite translation is humbug. Actually, that's not entirely true. The best translation of leros isn't really something that is appropriate to be said from the pulpit. So we'll go with humbug instead. It's humbug. That's what this story is, right? It's humbug. And this is actually one of the reasons that I so like the Gospel of Luke's telling of the resurrection story. You see, each gospel puts a slightly different spin on it, and Luke emphasizes the unbelievableness of what has happened here. Notice how everyone is described in the story. And go ahead and take a look at your bulletins. When the women go to the tomb and find the stone rolled away and no body, first they are perplexed. Then when they see the two men in dazzling clothes, they are terrified. Then when they are reminded that Jesus had predicted all of this, they remember. Then when the disciples hear their report, they think that it is humbug. And they don't believe. And finally, even Peter, who goes to the tomb, is simply amazed. When confronted with the reality of the risen Lord, Jesus' closest friends and followers' first response is not belief. It is confusion. But then, when we fast forward to the book of Acts, written by the same author as our gospel lesson, and here we have Peter much more confident than before. The truth of the resurrection has sunk in for him. He has come to terms with the humbug of a story and realized that not only is it true, but it is vital. It matters to him. And he preaches saying, "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." And what I find interesting is that not only has Peter come to believe the story that the women originally told him, but that it is now the most important thing to him. He has dedicated his life to the risen Lord. And that is the truth. Once we have gotten past the unbelievableness of this story, once we have come to understand that this humbug is not humbug, that this idle tale is actually true of all things, it changes us because it matters. The story is so far out there. Guy came back from the dead. The story is so far out there that if we believe it, then it has to affect us. In the book of Acts, Peter does not simply recount this story as dry historical fact. Oh, hey, by the way, that guy came back from the dead. He recounts it as a historical truth that has changed him. It is not merely history. It is history that makes our present reality different and better. He recounts that because this is what he believes, that Jesus has commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. In other words, our gospel lesson that ends by saying that after seeing the empty tomb, Peter went home amazed at what had happened. But no belief is not the end of the story for Peter. For the women and for Peter and for the disciples, this story matters when they finally figure it out. It matters that Jesus came back from the dead. And it is more than simply so that we can get the good afterlife, although that's important too. Jesus' resurrection matters because it is only in that, the most important event in all of history, that we can be reconciled with God right now. And if you believe that, if you believe that 2,000 years ago that man came back from the dead, that Jesus Christ, who is God, could not be held by death, then that historical fact should not be ancient history. Today is the most joyful day, because on this day, we do more than simply commemorate a past event. Instead, we celebrate the present reality that Jesus Christ is alive today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.